Kyle here. I'm the pastor of Island Pond. I want to thank you for checking out our video. So whether you're listening by podcast, watching online, or watching on television, my prayer is that God will use this message to bless you, encourage you, and challenge you today. If you want more information about our church, or if you want to watch other messages, you can go to www.islandpondbc.com. If you live in the Hampstead, New Hampshire area, come on out. Right now, our services are at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday morning in Hampstead, New Hampshire. All right, let's go ahead and dive in to the message today.
Okay, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to James chapter 4. We're going to be continuing through our James series. And I'm going to open up with a somewhat of a humorous story here. So there was a turtle who was living in New England, and he really wanted to go to Florida for the winter. Some of you can relate. But he knew that he could never walk that far, and so he convinced a couple of geese to help him get from New England to Florida. So he had each of the geese hold a rope, one end and one end on each side, and then he would clamp down with his tight mouth there on the middle of the string or of the rope, and then the geese would fly him all the way to Florida. Great idea, right? So it was a success. They started flying down to Florida. And then a farmer looks up one time in the middle of their flight, and he was just amazed at what he saw there. And he said something like, who in the world thought of that? And the turtle just could not resist himself. He opened his mouth and he said, I did. And that was the end of the turtle. So since I'm on a roll here, can I tell one more funny story? Okay, I'll take that as a yes. And then I think this is a true story, unlike the last one, not that you couldn't tell already. But there was a former heavyweight boxer named James Quick Tillis. He's a cowboy from Oklahoma, and he fought in the 1980s out of Chicago. And he apparently was one tough dude. And so on his first trip to Chicago, he got out of the bus in downtown Chicago, and he had two cardboard suitcases under his arms. And he reached the Sears Tower, and then he put his suitcases down, and he looked up at the tower, and he declared, I'm going to conquer Chicago. And then he looked down, and his suitcases were gone. Poor, poor former heavyweight James Tillis. Now, those are stories that show, in a funny way, the danger of pride. The danger of pride. Now, but before I go even further and get into our passage, which James is going to be talking about, let me give you just a very simple definition of pride from the authoritative Wikipedia. It is, pride means having a feeling of good, of being good or worthy. The adjective is proud. So the word pride can be used in a good sense, or it can be used in a bad sense. And in a bad sense, someone who is described as proud may be arrogant. So the key here when we're thinking about pride in the negative sense is that you think highly of yourself. You think highly of yourself. And when it's done in an arrogant manner, this is the opposite of what God is calling us to do or to think. Colossians 3:12 says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness and humility, meekness and patience. No mention of pride there for Christians. James 4:6, which we looked at last week. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, I just shared two funny stories. At least they were funny to me. Maybe you didn't think they were very good. But to be honest, pride is not a very funny subject because it has been the downfall and even the death of many people throughout the years. And as I read story after story on the subject of pride, constantly was coming up the idea of person is proud. Another person says, hey, you shouldn't do this. Or, hey, I have a way to fix this. Proud person says, uh-uh. Proud person dies. That's what happens over and over again. Let me give you one example from the Civil War. During the Battle of the Wilderness in the Civil War, Union General John Sedgwick, this is not just some no-name guy, this is a general in the Union Army. He was inspecting his troops, and at one point, he came out to this parapet, which is sort of like a corner of a wall where, you know, if you were under it, you were safe, but you're over it, not so safe there. And he came and he stood up at the wall here and he gazed over, looking out to the enemy far off. His officers suggested that it would be unwise to keep his head above the barriers and perhaps he ought to duck. And he snapped back at them, "Nonsense. They couldn't hit an elephant at this And that was the end of General John Sedgwick, who was hit in the cheek, fell down, and was fatally wounded, never to recover, died shortly after. Pride is dangerous, isn't it? Not only does it cause physical deaths, but it also causes spiritual deaths and the downfall of many spiritually. And that's why James is going to be talking about this morning. Throughout the letter of James, he's been talking about how true faith, how true devout faith leads to good actions or to right actions. But pride has a way of taking us in the opposite direction. You see, pride has a way of taking our eyes or our faith off of Jesus, which leads to wrong actions. And in this passage, James is essentially going to be saying, watch out for pride. Watch out for pride, because it will be your spiritual downfall if you're not careful. And so our passage is James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. James is going to be giving two examples of the danger of pride. And we're going to look at those two examples, but then we're going to look at from a broader perspective and back out from those examples and see what it means for all of us here 2,000 years later. So let's look at the first example that he gives in verse 13, which is planning your life apart from God. So look at verse 13. He says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit." Now this example, they were planning out their life. But the key here is that it's not that they were planning a year in advance, but they were planning apart from the will of God. So the planning is not the issue. The issue is that they were planning apart from what God wanted in their life. And to do this is just prideful silliness on your part. To think that you can just go and do whatever you want in your life. If this virus has shown us anything, we know now that yes, if we didn't before, we are frail beings and we cannot plan out our lives. I mean, how many of us knew back in January that one day we would be in the parking lot attending church because our lives are in danger from a virus going on? It's silly to plan out. And that's why James says in verse 14, "Yet you do not know what tomorrow brings. What is your life? For you are but a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." And so James says, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. So how can you plan out weeks or months or even years later? How can you act like you are in charge if you don't even know what is going to happen tomorrow? Now again, the issue is not planning. Some of you are planners. You have your next year planned out in the sense that you know when you're going on vacation, you know when this is going to happen and this has happened. And again, that is not the issue. The issue is if you're doing that and planning that apart from the will of God. And then James says, giving another reason, he says, but you are a mist. You're a mist. Yesterday, I was making some iced tea, and so on our electric kettle, I put in the 7 cups of water, and then I pushed the button, and a few minutes later, it started boiling, and from the top of that came all this steam, started rising up. And all of you know what steam does. It goes up, and then it disappears. It just disappears. It's not there for a long time. It's just there for just a moment, and then it's gone. And not to sound depressing, but that's the reality for all of us today. James is getting at the point that just like that mist is there one moment, is gone the other. That's how we are as human beings, because we are not God. We are not God. We are not the creator. We are the creation. And so who are we to think that we can plan without any thought of the will of God in our life? To do that, James would say, is pride. But then he gives a second example in verse 16 and 17. We'll come back to verse 15. He says in the second example, talks about boastfully avoiding doing the right thing. So let's look at verse 16 and 17. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin. And so what he's talking about there is there were people who knew what they were supposed to do. They knew that they were supposed to do something else, but they went and did their own thing in their pride, and then they went and boasted about it. And James is saying, pride alert right there. If you know you're supposed to be doing something else, but you don't do it, that is pride, and that is sin, and that will lead to spiritual disaster. I read about how on January 28th, 1986, I actually remember this, the Space Shuttle Challenger, just after liftoff, 73 seconds after liftoff, it exploded in the air. And there's an investigation about what happened afterwards, and it was discovered that these O-rings were to blame on the boosters. Now, it was the O-rings, but was it really? Because the investigation went on to talk about how the morning of liftoff, it was unusually cold in Florida. And so one of the engineers for the company that built the rocket, not one of the engineers for NASA, he was concerned about the temperature. And so the company had never tested the O-rings below 53 degrees, and in Florida that day, it was below that temperature. And so the engineer recommended that they not launch that day, that they postpone the launch. Well, NASA had already postponed several times, and so the officials overruled the engineer's recommendation, and they told him that he needed to sign off on the launch. The engineer refused to sign off. And then NASA went above him and talked to his boss and got his boss to sign off on the launch. The Space Shuttle Challenger went off, took off, lifted off. And 73 seconds later, the O-rings failed and the Challenger blew up, killing many lives and also causing all sorts of financial issues for them. That's pride. Pride. They had been so successful up until that point that they decided to just look past the warnings and just do what they knew they should not be doing. Now, I want to ask you, is there anything in your life that pride is keeping you from doing? I came up with just a couple of examples. There could be a lot of other ones, but examples like avoiding sharing Jesus with your friends or family because you're too afraid. That's at its core. That's pride. Not sharing your time or not sharing your talents or not sharing your money with those who need it or with gospel-minded ventures there. That's pride. Blindly allowing injustices to happen, even though you know about them. That's letting things happen, even though you know that they shouldn't. Avoiding getting involved in church, not reading your Bible, or not praying. These are things you know you should be doing, but you don't. And I don't. And the source of that is pride. Now, with these two examples that I just talked about, I want us to think about what it means for us today now. 2,000 years later, in the midst of a pandemic, what can we take away from a passage like this? And I want to remind us what James said back in verse 1 of chapter 1. He's writing, he says, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion. And so what he's saying is that he's writing to the people who had been dispersed, to the people who had been persecuted so much for their faith that they had to flee for their lives. And he's writing to these people. So they had to flee. They were in the midst of a crazy time. In fact, probably much worse than many of us are now as well. And yet, in the midst of that crazy time that they were encountering, James writes this strongly worded letter, and he warns them not to give in to pride, among other things. And so here's what I'm getting at, that even when times are crazy, God does not give us permission to act pridefully. In fact, during those times, it is even more important that we stay close to God. You see, right now, some of us have gotten spiritually distracted with everything going on. Or maybe we've just gotten outright sloppy with our faith. And maybe some of us have drifted from God. And maybe some of us have even done some things that we know we were not supposed to do. Maybe we've stopped doing things that we know we should be doing. At the core, both of these things are the very things that James is warning about in this chapter 4. Example 1, planning apart from God, is an example of doing things that you should not do. Example 2 that he gave, boastfully avoiding the right thing, is an example of not doing the things that you should be doing. And both of these are out of pride and arrogance. And it is saying that I can manage better than God can. And not only is that sin, but that will lead to spiritual disaster in your life. And so if that's you, I want to ask you, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about the pride that is stored up in your life? In the summer of 1986, two ships collided in the Black Sea off the coast of Russia. Hundreds of passengers died as they were hurled into the icy waters below. And the cause was not technology. The cause was not weather. The cause was pride. You see, both captains of both ships knew the other was there. And so they knew the other one was going in their direction. But both captains were too proud to yield to the other captain. And by the time they came to their senses, it was too late. They could not turn quick enough. And they crashed. And listen, some of you are living in that way where your life is headed for a crash. And you may even see it headed for a crash. But you are right now are being too stubborn or too prideful to turn out of the way. And the spiritual language that I'm asking you to do is to repent. That means that you need to turn away from your sins and turn back to God. And so I want to challenge you this morning to turn your ship around. Turn your ship, because don't let your pride get in the way of you turning back to God. Don't think that you can do it on your own. You need Jesus Christ in your life. And that means humbling your life and accepting Him into your life or turning back to Him. And so your pride is going to say, no, I got this. But your pride is going to say, I don't need someone else to help me. But Jesus is saying, come to me. Come to me and I will give you life. Come to me and I will give you rest. True life, Jesus says, is found in Him. And that's why James says in verse 15, which we skipped over before. He says, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this and that. What he's saying there is that we need to have that mindset of living out that if God wills, I'll do it. Now, I know some people that take that literally, and every time they make a plan, they say, if the Lord wills. And I don't think that's what James is talking about, saying literally we need to say it every time. He's saying that we need to have a heart of humility and dependence upon God. The Puritans, hundreds of years ago, would end letters often with the words Deo Volenti, which is Latin for God willing. And they would often end their letters with the initials DV for Deo Volenti. And it gives that mindset that they're saying God willing. And so I'm not saying that we should write that or say that all the time, but I'm saying that we need to continually have the mindset that God willing should be the desire of our heart. That we should humble our lives and not focus on what we want, but focus on what the will of God is in our life. And when we do, when we let God willing take hold of us, when we let that be a burning desire in our heart, then pride will be pushed out. Let me close with some words from Abraham Lincoln from about 150 years ago in the middle of the Civil War. He proclaimed in 1863 a day of fasting and prayer. And this is what he said. So listen to these words. He said, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in our deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to God, to the God that made us." That was written a long time ago, but I want to ask you, does that apply to you today? Have you forgotten God? Has God blessed you so much and in so many different ways that you've used those blessings to sort of puff your own self up? Have you started thinking too highly of yourself, thinking that you can do this life on your own? And if so, I want to encourage you to humble yourself and return to God. To repent before Him and put God in His proper spot and put you in your proper spot. And that begins simply with just taking a moment now as our worship team comes back out. We're going to get ready to sing in a moment. One closing song. And maybe you have put your faith in Jesus Christ before, but you've strayed from Him. And if so, I just want you to take a moment now to tell God, "God, I need to turn back to You. Help me to do that this morning. Help me to do that this morning." And if there's any sin in your life, then maybe you just right now, as we sing this last song, you need to just turn back to Him. You need to say, "God, take this sin. I give it to You now." But if you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ before, if you've never become a Christian before, I want to encourage you to put your pride aside and turn to Him this morning. Because there is no one better that can help you, that can give you peace, that can help you through this situation than God, the Creator of this world. And if that's you, I want you to pray along with me this morning. And it's not the words that are going to save you, but if your heart behind these words, if you mean it, then that's, as you cry out to Jesus, that is what saves you. And so let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I've messed up. I've pridefully thought I can do it on my own. But Lord, I need you. I need you to be the Lord of my life. Would you come into my life now? Would you forgive me of my sins? Help me to live humbly before you. Amen. Amen. And if you've prayed that prayer and you meant it with your heart, then that means that you have been saved by Jesus Christ. And I want to be able to reach out to you this week. And so if you have, go to the contact form or text me and let me know that you made a decision this morning. And I'll be in touch with you shortly. Let's go ahead and sing one last song praising our Savior. Amen.